Welcome to the 211th episode of the Jamie Delaney Plant-Based Wellness Podcast. My name is Jamie Delaney, and I'm your host. I'm a plant-based cardiologist and endurance athlete living in Southwest Florida. Welcome, welcome, welcome. And today, not only do I have my favorite registered dietitian and daughter, Addie Meinrich, but I have the diva, Alfreda Delaney, my mother and nunny. Say hello.
Hello, everybody.
So, and hello, Addie.
Hi.
So it's the first time the three of us have been on a podcast together.
It could get crazy, folks.
It could get crazy. And we actually have Vinny joining us, too. So he might want to say a few words. So we're here today to launch the cookbook. And the name of the cookbook is...
Three Generations of Cooking with the Doctor, the Dietitian, and the Diva, your plant-based wellness cookbook, straight from the Delaney household.
Yes, and it has been a labor of love, and it took a lot longer than we thought.
Yes, so, but it's here.
It's here. It's here. And, you know, if you take the nutrition class in our office, my mom helps out, and Addie comes in. Addie lives in Texas now, but Addie comes in and is involved in the nutrition class as well, and she does all the nutrition facts for the recipes that we use in the nutrition class. And the recipes are originated between the three of us, but a lot of them are developed by none other than, in class, we call her the little Vanna, because she's like Vanna White in assisting. But for the cookbook, we've decided to call her the diva because she is in charge of all things cooking. She was the first Delaney woman of these generations to man the kitchen. So... and your specialty is soups, right?
Yes, I love to make soups, different kinds.
And she's just kind of comes up with them, on her own and what she has available in the kitchen. So she's made all of her other soups plant-based and then come up with some on her own.
And she is queen of throwing just things she has in the refrigerator together and creating something amazing. So she can go and do a meal without even an idea and create something great, which is how a lot of these recipes have come together.
So we had her write out these recipes. Like, can you write these recipes? This is really good. Can you write it out? And so you would just scratch it down on a piece of paper or an envelope. And then we would try to have to figure out what was really in it. So besides soup, what do you think your favorite recipe out of the cookbook was?
I think my favorite recipe was making stuffed shells and turning my Italian recipe over into a vegan dish. And that's how it all got started with me. I didn't think it was possible, but it worked.
Yeah, so we started making stuffed shells was one of our dishes that we made every Christmas Eve, and that was kind of the signature dish of people that came to our house, and everybody wanted your stuffed shells. And then when we became plant-based, then, you know, panic set in. What will we do?
And it's funny, too, now, because, I mean, we have this recipe, but we kind of each make our own batch now at Christmas, and we compare who wins the stuffed shell tournament.
Yeah, so the basic recipe is, you know, we all make a little different pasta sauce. Everybody has their own twist on pasta sauce, but we use no salt. And that's really what, you know, one of the things we wanted to talk about this book is that we avoid salt, sugar, and oil. So we start with our pastas with tomatoes without any salt in them or preservative, organic tomatoes. And then we the pasta recipe is in the cookbook as well, but we all have our own little twist on how much of this, how much of that is in the pasta sauce.
The doctor usually likes it spicier than anyone at the table can handle.
Yeah, if you don't sweat a little bit during the pasta sauce, then it's you're not getting all that it's cracked up to be.
Yeah. What's your favorite recipe?
Mine?
Yeah.
You know, as I went through looking at the cookbook, there was one mistake in the cookbook, early up front is that I did not give credit to the photographer, and the photographer is Addie. She did every one of the photos for the, cookbook and did an excellent job. And as I go through the cookbook, I get hungry. And, so it's hard for me to decide which one is my favorite, but, I know. I mean, I love the cowboy caviar. I love the green soup. Hey, I'm not sure which. I'm not sure. You know, I mean, I really go through them. And even this weekend, we got the proof copy of the cookbook last Friday. And you and I both went through and made recipes all weekend from the cookbook, just happy as anything.
Yeah, I've done it all week, actually. It's like, oh, what am I going to make tonight? Let me go to the cookbook. I don't know what I like. I love, you know, the one that was really kind of funny that came together was the barbecue pulled pork. That was a Nathan Meinrich idea. So he was the late plant-based adopter. So he inspired that one. I like that one for like barbecues, especially this time of year. With the cowboy caviar, those are great. But I love the banana bread is one of my favorites as well. I mean, I'm indecisive, so I like that tofu no egg sandwich.
Yeah. So that was
my favorite.
Yeah, so I have to take credit for that one. That was my invention because when we were growing up, every once in a while we would have an egg sandwich, you know, on toast. And you know, what are you going to do? Why couldn't you just take tofu and slice it really thin and marinate it and make an egg sandwich out of it? And because a tofu really does have the texture of an egg. So there, the egg sandwich was born, the tofu egg sandwich.
And I like, too, that we have a section in here for side dishes. So what's great about that is you can kind of mix and match things as you like. I mean, we have full-blown entrees, but then we have salads, we have sides, we have desserts, and nothing is crazy hard. I love to cook, but I don't own many cookbooks because most of them frustrate me because they're too complicated. So I love this because it's simple. It's easy to follow. Anybody can do it. You can cook for two. You can cook for six or eight. And not be too stressed out about what ingredients you need. It's all right here. And we have some nutrition education sprinkled throughout too, which I think is unique.
Yeah, the idea is to make a cookbook. And you know, I hate to say that we experimented on our members, but we experimented on our members as far as what they were really like. And when we do the nutrition class, the idea behind it is to present, especially our level one introductory to plant-based nutrition, we want them to learn about different grains because a lot of people have only eaten pasta, maybe some rice. Some people haven't eaten quinoa, barley, or farro or anything. So we want to introduce them to a grain and we want to introduce them to different ways to prepare greens. So a lot of the recipes are in the nutrition class when we did them were, you know, how do we incorporate those into each class? And so the cookbook, you know, it does a lot of that. We do the whys as far as the greens, the nitric oxide production, but there's other, you know, there's other benefits of the vegetables and the combinations thereof. Some things are more nutrient dense if they're cooked, some more nutrient dense if they're raw, you know, and if you're looking, it shouldn't matter whether you have rheumatoid arthritis or you're perfectly healthy or you have heart disease or diabetes or you're trying to lose weight. You can use this cookbook and not have to worry about, you know, things that are too calorically dense or that things are inflammatory. And so it's, you know, it's geared at people that I would see in my nutrition practice, as well as being able to serve those to their family and friends.
Yeah, it's for everybody. It really is. And there's nothing hidden. There's nutrition facts for each and every recipe, too. So if you are interested in that info, you can find it on each page. In the back, we have some shopping lists for, you know, typical things on our weekly pantry list or weekly perishables, you know, the produce section, a little info on kitchen hacks from the Delaney ladies. So, I mean, I really think it's really a complete guide to whole food, plant-based nutrition. And, you know, it's kind of like taking a step into our home, but also a step into the nutrition class. So I think you get a little bit of the best of both worlds.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, you're mom, you're at nutrition class every week. I mean, you know, you see how people react to the recipes.
Yes. It seems like, everything that you cook, goes over very well, and everybody likes it because it's simple. It's very easy to put together, and the main thing is to know what you're going to cook and have things available so that you can make these recipes, and that's the main thing. And make sure that they're fresh vegetables, because that means a lot if your vegetables are fresh. Everything will taste so much better.
I think you learn a lot about how to season as well with these recipes, you know. That's the biggest thing when I am working with somebody trying to reduce their sodium intake and get them off the table salt, off that salt shaker, is, oh, everything's so bland. But we use a nice variety of spices and spices you can use over and over again, you'll see throughout the cookbook. So it's not like you're going to buy one spice and only use it for one recipe. But it kind of teaches you different flavors as well, to help get you off of those things like sugar, oil, and salt, and get your flavors elsewhere.
Yeah. You know, we only need 500 milligrams of sodium a day. And fruits and vegetables have 750 milligrams of salt in. So we don't have to worry about getting salt. But that's the flavor that is up front in most, certainly all prepared foods, or if you go out to dinner. So people are expecting that taste. And we've had people in nutrition class say, it's missing something. And it's like, yeah, salt. It's like, yeah, that's what it is. But you learn to use different spices to overcome that, you know, and it's pretty much a salt addiction. You know, people are so used to tasting that spice first, and they don't actually even, you know what some of the vegetables taste like. So by using a combination of different spices, and people are afraid to kind of experiment a little. So we kind of help people out with the spice combinations, and they get an idea, you know, of what to do, and then they can change the recipe or add a little bit, things that they like more. Like Addie says, I like things really spicy, so I'll add a little bit more hot to mine. And, you know, in order to avoid salt with, you know, some of the condiments that people use in some recipes, if I like hot, I use a hot pepper. So we have Thai chili peppers or poblanos or jalapenos, depending on how hot we want to make something. And we don't have to worry about the salt adding additional, you know, the sauces, canned and jar sauces, adding additional salt.
Yeah. Another thing I think is pretty cool is a lot of these recipes are very similar to maybe traditional, if we want to use that word, family recipes that we just made plant-based or vegan when we all changed to that form of eating as a family. So it's not a lot of crazy dishes either. It's going to be very familiar to you when someone opens up the book, you know, something as simple as pasta salad or waffles, you know, to something like we have an eggplant parm without any dairy, obviously, you know, so very, you know, and a lentil loaf. So familiar foods. And I think that's one, always my biggest suggestion for folks, you know, because I've told people too, don't feel like you can't get this cookbook and you'll never use it if you're not plant-based. I think this is for everybody. So whether you know somebody who's plant-based and you're just looking for recipes, or just looking also for ways to maybe, you know, slow your transition to plant-based eating, where maybe you're not 100% there, but you just want to sprinkle some of these recipes in, get some more veggies in your life. There's recipes in here that aren't going to be far away from what you're doing, just made healthier with whole food plant-based.
Yeah, like the potato leek soup, you know, traditional potato soup has cream in it. You just took the cream out and, you know,
used almond milk and, you know, the leeks and the potatoes and
pretty simple.
Some onion and some celery. And
And then, you know, there's also a few comments in there and some things that we've learned along the way, too. When we first started doing the nutrition class, at one point we outgrew our ability to have enough seats for everybody. So we rented space at the local Chamber of Commerce to have the nutrition class. And so Mom and I would haul everything to the Chamber of Commerce. And so we, you know, invite cooler, and they had a little kitchen there, and we'd have stuff in the back heating up. And so one afternoon I thought we were going to demonstrate the meatballs or the, you know, the sesame, the omega balls. And I thought I would, you know, be smart about it. I had the sauce made, and I put it in a crock pot, and I put the meatless balls in there. And when we came for class, you know, 3 or 4 hours later, everything would be ready. And I found out that I had made a bolognese sauce by that, because the, you know, the plant-based meatballs will disintegrate if you leave them in hot sauce for a while. So I, you know, things that I learned, that wasn't all bad. So I had a meat sauce, so to speak. But I didn't have, you know, meatballs. And I think we have that in there, you know, as far as, you know, don't put the sauce on these until you're ready to serve them, because otherwise you can, you know, get a bolognese sauce.
Yeah, a lot of tips filtered throughout. You know, each year for our members, you know, we have a lot of people coming in new to plant-based each year. We put out a Thanksgiving recipe newsletter that tells them, you know, takes the panic away, shows you how to have Thanksgiving and be plant-based conveniently. All of those recipes are also in here as well. So holiday cooking, your worries, fear no more, everyone. All your recipes can be found in this book.
Yeah. We have the next holiday, you know, 4th of July. We can take care of your barbecue.
We've got honey stuffing balls. We've got gravy. We've got pumpkin pie.
We can tell who likes Thanksgiving.
Yeah. I love fall, so you know that my pumpkin pancakes are in here. So if you eat those and love those, think of me, because they're amazing. We also have smoothies. A few of your favorite smoothies, especially for summertime hydration. Yeah. You know, we both use those after our long weekend runs or bike rides.
Yeah, I really, you know, during my transition to plant-based, I would do breakfast, and I would do a smoothie for breakfast. And then I realized, it's like, why am I just drinking this when I could actually enjoy eating the fruit? But I still do like a smoothie. So occasionally I'll use smoothies more as a dessert in the evening if I want something cold, as a, you know, it's my hydration for the next workout the next morning. When we do long bikes and long runs, like Addie said, I like to do smoothies when we first come in. It helps with the hydration. Fruit has a tremendous amount of antioxidants and phytonutrients and helps you recover. So it's good to get that going before you have the real food, which is usually just leftovers from the night before.
Yeah, exactly. And I like, there's a little bit about each of us in there so folks can get to know us. But my favorite person who's in here, hate to break it to you all, that we dedicated the book to is my namesake, my great-grandma Addie. So why don't you give them a little intro to her?
Yeah, so your grandmother Addie was an Irish cook that I spent a lot of time with. Mom, my parents both worked, and so I would go there for the summers, you know, during the day and after school. And she was a fabulous country cook. And, you know, you coined the phrase by talking about her cooking, that she could make something out of nothing. But one of the things that she did, she had a garden. And so we pretty much ate out of what she grew in the garden. And I think I've said it before on other podcasts. But she made her own bread. And she made a bread that was passed down to her from her mother. And it was called salt rising bread. And it's a thick, dense bread that doesn't use yeast. It used the starter is, it's kind of like a sourdough, but this starter is from potatoes. So potatoes and cornmeal and you let that ferment overnight, and the temperature has to be right on that. It's a kind of a tricky bread. There's several steps and it's involved, but she would make this bread, and it was complicated enough that a lot of people didn't want to try to make it on their own. And she would occasionally give neighbors in this small town the starter to use to make their own. But for the most part, people just wanted to come and get the loaves from her. So they would actually come and you know, I remember vividly, she made salt rising bread on Thursdays. And the kitchen table would be full of salt rising bread. She would buy flour by the 25 pounds, and she would make this salt rising bread, and the neighbors would come, and, you know, they would, I think they gave her a quarter a loaf, you know, to pay her first so she could reap the money that she spent on flour. And, you know, so they would buy this bread because nobody could really figure out how to get all the steps and to get it to turn out. And I just remember growing up, and that bread toasted is just, it's a very dense, heavy bread. And when it's toasted, it's just like nothing else. You know, you say it's kind of like cake, but it really is, it just has a taste like nothing else. There's a little bit of fermentation taste to it, but then it's...
a hint of sweetness, but not too much.
Yeah, not too much. And, you know, one of the favorite things when I was growing up, she would put green beans and the broth from the beans over top of that bread as a lunch. And, of course, you know, we would do it toasted for breakfast. But that was, you know, that was always around. And when she
always used it in dressing.
And when she made her dressing, yeah. So to make stuffing, you know, for and in dress, she would... used that bread, and it just was such a familiar, you know, when she passed, the bread was gone. And I kind of vowed that I never wanted to taste it again. And you are the one that came up, or somebody, where was it? You found a cookbook.
No. My friend that I played golf with, had her daughter marry this country lady. And I told her that I was trying to learn how to make this bread, and she got the recipe for me, and it all started there. And then I failed so many times because it's very tedious, and you have to do everything exactly right, and to get it to ferment. And after that, once that happens, then but it's I always said it's like playing around the golf. You have to stay with it. You cannot leave it.
Yeah, it takes a long time, and if you don't get things started at the right time, you know, I've seen you up in the middle of the night because you don't want to let this fail, you know. So you're dedicated to this bread until you get it, but it's so worth it. And you know, the bread. So the recipe's in the cookbook, and we use white bread flour. We're up front with that because I wanted to keep that recipe authentic for her. When she made the bread, she used lard. Back in the day, we took that out, so there's no oil. And any oil in bread is just used as a preservative, really, if you look it up. And of course, it called for some milk, and we substituted soy milk for that. So that other than that, we've kept it pretty authentic. And I, you know, we talked about it because I really wanted to dedicate that cookbook to her, but I wanted to put the recipe in, but I didn't want. I certainly wouldn't put it in if we couldn't make that recipe plant-based and without oil, and we were able to do it, and it tastes just as good.
Absolutely.
So we're very proud that, you know, we were able to do tribute to her with that bread recipe.
And I think it's also wonderful because she was a big reason why you wanted to be a cardiologist.
Absolutely. She had diabetes, and she was diagnosed with diabetes in her 50s. And again, country cook, everything, you know, lard was around, and she was told, the butter and lard, and she was overweight, not, you know, terribly overweight, but she was overweight. And she, I can remember as a kid, she took a pill for her diabetes. And she was told that the only testing that she had done, that they would test her urine once a year. And if there wasn't any sugar in the urine, then they said everything was okay. And if she didn't eat, and her only instructions were not to eat sugar. So she wouldn't eat the pie that she put a cup of sugar in and the sugar on the outside. She would make all these desserts for everybody else. And I never saw her eat the desserts. But obviously she cooked with, you know, everything, the oil that we know that really causes diabetes, but she took the pill and, you know, thought that was going to be okay. And, she passed from a massive heart attack at age 72. And, you know, I think that, it didn't have to happen, you know, unfortunately. You know, she was treated like everybody else was treated back in the day for diabetes. And of course it was not correct. We know so much more now. And, you know, I do believe that, you know, had, you know, if she could, you know, were here today, she would have become plant-based and altered her diet accordingly. I really do. And she was such a fabulous cook, like little Vanna here. And the diva is that, you know, she would have altered her recipes too, to make them, you know, healthy. But there wasn't that association. The idea of food was to feed your family back then. And like I said, They had, she had chickens and gathered her own, gathered the eggs, and she had a garden, and they, her mother and brothers raised hogs, and so they butchered together. There was, somebody else raised cattle, so everything was homegrown, like people say, grass-fed, but, but we know that, really, really doesn't save you, and, she's a perfect example of that, that it didn't save her, and... So, it's a lesson learned, but I think that it also says that we can take those traditional recipes and make them plant-based and still keep your family traditions together.
Exactly. It just takes a little bit of manipulation and a little bit of thinking and buying the right vegetables and thinking about what you're going to cook a little bit more so that you have... a good base and get fresh vegetables. That's what it's all about.
Yeah. So I don't think, like you said, you don't have to overcomplicate it. And I love that we dedicated it to her too, because like you just said, she was always cooked for her family. And then really we've done a lot of cooking as a family. We've always cooked and eaten together, enjoyed that. That's always been a big part of my life growing up and still is today, is sharing a meal together that we make. And I think it's really important to get back to that. And that's something else that we teach is, the food, yes, it's medicine, but it's also something to be shared with your family. So it can be, a lot of those things for a lot of people. But all I have to say, ladies, is salut. Cheers. We did it.
Yeah, we did it. And, I've always had a house that the kitchen was kind of part of. The guy in the kitchen was a part of everything. But we have cooked meals and these recipes. We have cooked meals in tiny kitchens, in hotel rooms, in apartments, in big kitchens, little kitchens, small kitchens with other people's appliances, our appliances, and it works.
Yeah, you can do it anywhere. You just got to have an idea to do it, the recipe, the food, and the people around you, and that's all you need.
Yeah, and then back to it. We're always around the table, and we've always eaten dinner together, and that's, that keeps a family close, and so it's nothing better than not only keep a family close eating together, but eating healthy together.
Mm-hmm. We do a lot of eating.
Yeah, I mean, if you put Irish and Italians together, it's about, if you're eating, it's what are you going to eat next? And so you might as well. I tell people that I enjoy every meal. I look forward to every meal and that I don't feel like I gave up anything because it's plant-based. I haven't given up. I don't feel like I've had to change or to do anything really different as far as my enjoyment of food. It's all good.
No, it's a big misconception that you have to sacrifice taste or the enjoyment of food to eat healthy food, or that it has to be expensive or it has to be complicated. And I think that's really what we wanted to do with this cookbook.
So it's available on Amazon.
Yes, it is.
Currently, and we're going to have an ebook as well. If you're somebody that, likes an ebook instead of, a paperback cover. I one of the things that we did with the book as well is there's room in there under the recipes that you can write in some of your own preferences, whether you like something a little different, or make some notes on if you had some trouble or whatever. So there's room to write in. So that's one reason why I like a paperback book as opposed to an ebook. But, if you're traveling or whatever, and you're, like I said, in somebody else's kitchen somewhere and you need a quick recipe, the ebook is a nice option to have. But they're available at Amazon, and then they'll be available here locally in Port Charlotte in the office for people to pick up a signed copy. Or if you get a copy on Amazon and you just happen to be in the neighborhood, come on in and, the little diva has been sharpening up her Sharpie so that she can sign her name. And
to all my fellow Texans, if you're in the Houston area, we'll have them here too.
Yeah. So I think it'll be, really, really cool thing. I was excited. It's we started to do this because we used these recipes in the nutrition class, and we were getting so many people in the class said, you ought to write a cookbook. And that's, you know, we thought, oh, that'll be easy. We'll just compile these recipes together and write this cookbook. And it turned out to be a lot more complicated. And, you know, I'm the science person of the family, and Addie is the creative English literate person of the family, and the diva here is the idea queen. But you know, at one point I had all these recipes and we were writing them down, and Addie was, you know, like, this is a disorganized mess. We have to get this together. And so, you know, I have to give her not only for the photography, but, you know, she's the one that took these bunches of papers and bunches of recipes and said, we have to put this in some sort of order. So I think we have a good order, but it was a lot more complicated than we ever thought. And we thought we would have it for our conference, and then we thought we'd have it a week later. And then, you know, I'm very proud to be able to work with Addie and my mom to, you know, to come up with something that's truly ours.
Yeah, like all good things, it was well worth the wait.
Yeah.
We did a good job, brain.
Yes, Pinky. So.
And I feel so great because they took me into consideration as part of the making of this book. And it's just wonderful to work with my granddaughter and my daughter.
Well, yeah, we couldn't forget the captain of the ship. We'd pay for it later.
Well, and you know, in nutrition class, so, you know, we talk about being a lighthouse, you know, for others to see. You know, you can tell people that they need to change and they need to be plant-based. They ought to do this for their health, and they ought to do this. But, and, you know, I mean, you can, you know, Addie's young. And so, you know, you can, you know, what, you know, she doesn't have anything wrong with her. Or people say, I'm too young. I don't need to change. And, but she is an athlete, and she, you know, uses plant-based nutrition to help her with her recovery, as I do. But, you know, the little diva here is, you know, you're a lighthouse in and of yourself because, you know, she comes waltzing into nutrition class, you know, dressed fit to kill, slinging her spatula. And, you know, she's golfed or played Zumba, and she's coming to, you know, help serve and pick up and do all, you know, and help give people ideas and recipe ideas. So, you know, so changing at 80 probably is when you became plant-based. You set a good example for other people because people say, well, I don't want to change at this stage in my life, but they see how good you look and how you pop in and how much energy you have. And it's a great example for people. And they can identify with you that you've, you know, had some health issues and scares, and you've got past it and you're doing great. So it's a great testament to this, how this nutrition actually works. So, you know, I think that that's what we all, you know, hope for, that, you know, you kind of walk the walk and you lead by example. And so the cookbook is an example of what we eat, literally.
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 This is it, folks.
All right. So we won't going to bore you out anymore.
If you get the book and you try something and you are an Instagrammer such as I or the doc here, feel free to tag us in a photo. We would love to see what you all are creating. If you changed up things a little bit, let us know your own rendition of a Delaney delight. And then if you're getting the book on Amazon and you enjoy it, you know, if you really like it, give us a review. Let people know what you like about it, to share the word, and we'll be excited to see what you all create.
Yep, and you can go to the website, drdelaney.com, and order from there, or go directly to Amazon. We have a link in under books so that you can order, take you to Amazon to get it as well. Gives us.
And if you follow either of us on Instagram, the link is there as well.
Yeah, so we would love to hear from you. You can email Addie at Addie, A-D-D-I-E, at drdelaney.com, or Jamie at drdelaney.com. It's drdelaney. So we'd love to hear from you. We appreciate all the nice feedback that we've received from some of you on Facebook, and look forward to hearing how you're enjoying the recipes.
Yes, for sure. Happy cooking.
Bon appetit.
Go get them. All right, plant strong. All right. Good deal.